We haven't even started, right? Okay, love you guys too. You know why I love you guys? You're not the summer soldiers and sunshine patriots. You're the hardest core of the hardcore. You're the heart of the movement, right? You were with President Trump in 21 when they stole the 2020 election and he went back to Mar-a-Lago. Who had his back? You guys did, right? We have to, particularly after last night. Last night, I think, was one of the most historic. Were you guys all here in the audience last night? Was that historic? Laura Ingraham, Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson. Those were historic speeches. Make sure in your diary, the notes you keep, particularly tell your kids and grandkids, you were in Tampa in 25 when that night, that Friday night, you had three of the greatest patriots in this country come down and lay it down, right? What did Megyn Kelly say? Megyn Kelly at the end said, it's a time for choosing. It's a time for choosing. And we just had, I think all of you, have all of you just read the president's latest Truth Social? Have you read it? Okay. So here, let's have a partner's discussion. We know, or we're told, that there's going to be a special prosecutor sometime named, I don't know, I believe in the next week or two. And that is going to go back to the very beginning of how the deep state tried to stop President Trump all the way to Crossfire Hurricane. Remember that? In the summer of 2016, where they tried to stop him from being president and install Hillary Clinton. And with Hillary Clinton, Merrick Garland as the Supreme Court Justice, the country would have been gone. Donald Trump had the greatest come-from-behind victory against a headwind of the deep state trying to stop him. And this is one of the reasons this special prosecutor is going to look into it. After he won, what did they do immediately? The nullification project. The phony Russiagate with Brennan and this entire crowd. Just a rollover from what they did in Crossfire Hurricane. It just continued on. Why? They wanted President Trump, they wanted to stop him from taking on the deep state. Now, think about it. He had the economy on a roll. He had everything on a roll. And then the Chinese Communist Party in 2020 dropped a bioweapon from the Wuhan lab, correct? No doubt about that. Then they stole the 2020 election. The special prosecutor, President Trump, take your Truth Social out. Let's deconstruct what President Trump is saying. He says, we've got to look into the 2020 election. That is going to be purview of the prosecutor. So you have Crossfire Hurricane before he won. You're going to have the nullification project and the Russian hoax after he won to try to kill his first term. You're then going to have the stealing of the 2020 election. And guess what? Let's throw in January 6th, right? January 6th. Now, I would strongly recommend in that, because I've argued for this from the beginning, that in that arc of looking at how the deep state has tried to stop Trump and the MAGA movement, you can easily fit in the Epstein situation, right? If you want the full release of documents, the special prosecutor gets it, and here's why. Epstein is a key that picks the lock on so many things. Not just individuals, but also institutions, intelligence institutions, foreign governments, and who is working with him on our intelligence apparatus and in our government. This is why it's a time for choosing now. We have to decide right now and back the president and say, hey, look, all of your great work, you just heard Tom Homan, you're about to hear Kristi Noem, of closing the border. How did we get 10 or 11 or 12 or 20 million on Biden's watch? That was
very powerful
plan
speech
they had.
From Steve Bannon at TPUSA, at the TPUSA event yesterday. That speech is making waves. The whole thing's about 17 minutes long. We figured we'd play a little taste for you there. And we'll talk about leftist violence on the other side because it's bubbling up, folks. We'll be right back.
All right, Alex wanted you. He gave you the methylene blue drink earlier. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And he wanted you to do a review.
Hey, I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get a
I think it's the methylene blue.
Record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. Second hour is on. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the next segment. We got a lot of developments in American politics. We just covered the fact that Jewish groups in this country receive just hundreds of millions of dollars from the American taxpayers to protect themselves. While it seems like every week or so there's another attack on churches in this country, the latest was this Kentucky church shooter was trying to kill mother of his children. Suspect has been identified in Sunday's deadly shooting spree in Lexington, Kentucky, that left two women dead, two men wounded, and a Kentucky state trooper hospitalized. Law enforcement told Lex 18 that the suspect had been identified as Guy House, a convicted felon with a long criminal history. House was shot and killed by the police at the scene. House, who'd been previously charged with first-degree fleeing and evading police, resisting arrest, and illegal possession of a handgun in 2022, was not legally allowed to own a firearm. Authorities are now investigating how he obtained the weapon used in the attack. Pictures and videos found online of House show him wearing a Palestinian kefeh, or whatever, which is regularly used to show support for the Hamas terrorist organization. The two women who were killed were been identified as Beverly Gum, 72, and Christina Combs, 32. Gum, a mother of eight, and one of her daughters, Star Rutherford, had been in the church's basement when House came in the door and asked for one of the Rutherford sisters, who was the mother to his three children, per the Lexington Herald Leader. When he was told she wasn't there, he allegedly responded, "Well, someone's going to have to die then," and opened fire. Very brutal, but apparently this guy had, like, converted to Islam recently. There's a lot of other, you know, weird rumors about this guy. But it does seem like we're averaging about one attack on a church a week in this country. Whether that's just because it's where the attack happens to be, which seems to be this case, or because the church itself is being targeted. Of course, there was the guy who tried to shoot up a church last week, maybe the week before, where the security guard hit him with his truck. A number of other instances. And I don't, you know, I definitely don't think the Epstein scandal comes from anything nefarious. Again, I see people going, "Oh, the Democrats are just using this to distract from the auto pen scandal." So I don't think any of that's true. But I do think we should be focusing more on the extreme amounts of violence coming from the Democrats these days. I do think that we'd probably be well served by focusing on and probably doing something about the networks of Antifa that are conducting sustained insurrection style attacks against federal buildings across the United States. Now, I believe that we can focus on two things at once. I think we have that power. But certainly I'm not seeing nearly enough coverage of what's going on across the country in terms of the violence of the left. Tom Homan made this statement, clip 19, about Portland, where an ongoing Antifa siege has been torturing and terrorizing a neighborhood outside of an ICE facility. Here's Tom Homan talking about the Antifa encampment there.
Well, not only that, I'm going to head to Portland. I'm going out there. They're not going to bully us or you know, we're going to do the job. We're going to do it in Portland, too. But for the mayor of New York City and Chicago, President Trump made it clear 2 weeks ago. We're going to double down and triple down on sanctuary cities. Yeah. Why? Not because they're blue. Because we know there are recent public safety threats to the streets every day. Like Florida, we agree with all the sheriffs in Florida. They're taking our detainers. They're not releasing illegal alien public safety threats. They're calling us. So we can spend less resources in Florida and send them to New York, to Chicago, and to Portland, to L.A. We're going to double down and triple down on sanctuary cities. If we can't arrest a bad guy in the jail, then we'll go to community and we'll find him. Or we'll do more work site enforcement. We'll find them at the work site. And when we do these things and we ramp up that enforcement, we're going to find others. Others who aren't a criminal target, but they're in the country illegally, we're going to arrest them too. So what you're going to get, sanctuary cities, is exactly what you don't want. More agents in your communities and more collateral arrest. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. We're doubling down, tripling down. So for those who say they're going to keep ICE out of the city, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good. I mean, that's exactly how it needs to be treated. This is from DHS.gov. Anarchists and rioters in Portland illegally dox ICE officers and federal law enforcement. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem today, and this was from the 11th of July, just 4 days ago, released the following statement addressing criminals and Antifa-affiliated groups' continued efforts to dox the personal information of Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers in Oregon. ICE law enforcement is facing a nearly 700% increase in assaults against them. These doxing websites that attempt to reveal ICE officers' identity and even their families and children put our law enforcement in grave danger as highly sophisticated gangs like Tren de Aragua and MS-13, criminal rings, murderers, and rapists can use this information to carry out attacks on federal law enforcement and their family, saying, quote, we will prosecute those who dox ICE agents to the fullest extent of the law. These criminals are taking the side of vicious cartels and human traffickers. We won't allow it in America. Federal law enforcement has come under attack across the country. Gunmen opened fire on Border Patrol and ICE officers in Texas over the 4th of July weekend on two separate occasions, seriously wounding two. Multiple organizations appear to be responsible for doxing these federal officers, including an anarchist and Antifa-affiliated group based in Portland called Rose City Counter Info and another called the Crustian Daily. Both of these groups have published the names, pictures, and personal address of ICE officers on their websites. Criminals have posted flyers in officers' neighborhood that include their names, addresses, pictures of them, and their families. The flyers threaten officers with texts that say, no peace for ICE and Chinga La Migra. The translation is F, Immigration Services. And so we've been warning about this forever, of course. And just like any criminal on an individual level, you know, it doesn't usually start with murder. It doesn't usually start with, you know, coordinated attacks on ICE. It starts on the small level. It starts in 2020 with Black Lives Matter and only escalates through there. And when they're allowed to attack police officers, ICE officers, when they're allowed to have encampments where they're violating any number of, you know, city strictures. And I'm trying to get on some of the people in Portland that have had to deal with this Antifa encampment outside the ICE office, which, again, is just like, why? Why do we allow it? I don't think we should. I don't think we need to. I think we've been patient long enough with Antifa. Now, we've been calling for them to be designated as a domestic terrorist organization for a very long time because of all of the domestic terrorism that they're involved in and the way that they are a very well-coordinated and highly communicative network of activists, so-called, committing, you know, arson attacks. I know there was a crackdown on some of the people burning in Tesla dealerships earlier in the year. But again, these are the types of things that the Democrats encouraged. Democrats gave a pass to. Well, they didn't come out and say, yeah, go burn down a Tesla dealership. They would say, well, you know, there are consequences. You know, maybe if you weren't a Nazi, these types of things wouldn't have happened. Maybe people do need to get out and get involved and take the battle to the streets. Nonviolently, of course, but things happen. There's always this like wink and a nod towards it. We don't have to put up with any of this. And the thing is that they've been so protected, so coddled, so able to get away with this stuff for so long. Now, in order to identify and round up these networks, be a piece of cake. Could not be easier. They literally have websites where, like, they have all their information. There's absolutely no reason why every single person associated with this group should not be immediately arrested and tried for terrorism. When you are publishing the docs information, the addresses and pictures of the families of ICE members, I mean, it's always been absurd. It's getting to a point of, like, unbelievability, how just completely terroristic the left is becoming. While, you know, obviously, luckily we don't have a Democratic president right now, but regardless, we still constantly hear how, you know, right winger. In fact, I'll pull in another video. It's Jasmine Crockett, just like 2 days ago or something, was going, all violence is from the right. All violence and all crime is all 100% carried out by people on the right wing. And even leftists who attack right wingers are really just disappointed MAGA Trumpers. And it's always been absurd. And it's just a continual thing. I hate repeating myself like this, but the condition is not that Antifa is committing terrorism and the right wingers are committing terrorism and we get punished and they don't, and that's not fair. No, we don't do anything. We don't firebomb fertility clinics. We aren't burning down or shooting up churches. Okay? We aren't trying to assassinate our political opponents like the left did to Trump at least twice that we know of, getting very close and actually wounding him one time. We don't do it. It's just no political violence is from the right in the recent past at all. Unless it's literally just like a single crazy dude that just does something that is, you know, utterly inverted and contradictory to their stated goals. In 2018, some Mexican dude shot Mexicans at Walmart because he was racist. And they're like, see? Right wing, it's like, okay, the left has entire networks of Antifa actively committing crime, actively committing violence against federal law enforcement, actively coordinating this, advertising this on social media with their faces on TikTok videos going, we got to start killing people. And nothing is done. It's not just unequal. It's not just they do a thing, we do a thing, they get punished, we don't. That would be unfair. This is so inverted. It's hard to even fathom. Just how openly terroristic the left is becoming. Let's go now to clip number 21, where 12 Antifa members have been charged with attempted murder after ambushing an ICE battalion and attempting to kill them. Let's watch.
We're here to tell you that late at night on July 4th, Friday night at approximately 10:37 p.m. at the Prairie Land ICE Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas, 10 to 12 individuals dressed in black military-style clothing began shooting fireworks and engaging in acts of vandalism at the facility. And this was part of an organized attack. Today, my office has charged 10 individuals with 3 counts of attempted murder of a federal officer. Each of the 10 are also charged with 3 counts of discharging a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. Each of these defendants faces a mandatory prison term of 10 years and up to life in prison. An additional co-conspirator was charged with obstruction of justice and conspiracy for attempting to conceal and destroy evidence in relation to the attack. And he faces up to 10 years in prison. Let's discuss the incident. It was a planned ambush with the intent to kill ICE corrections officers. Make no mistake, this was not a so-called peaceful protest. It was indeed an ambush.
10 arrested after ambush on Texas ICE detention facility. Officials said the incident occurred in Alvarado, Texas on July 4th. State and federal officials announced on Monday that 10 people were arrested for engaging in a planned ambush on an ICE detention facility in Texas over the 4th of July holiday. Now, why is this not the top story in the country for weeks? This is literally so much more dangerous and horrifying than like January 6th. I mean, you have 10 people coming together to carry out a guerrilla warfare ambush on federal agents. And this is just like a blurb on page 4. What? This is crazy. And it's a forewarning of what's to come. This is not going to end anytime soon. Unless, of course, we do the very, 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 very simple task of identifying the networks and arresting the people involved. We could just do that. We could just stop this in its tracks immediately tomorrow if we wanted. And none of these problems are difficult to solve. We just refuse to solve them. We instead exacerbate and facilitate the problems. I don't know why, but that's what we've chosen to do. The individual is charged with attempted murder of a federal officer. According to court records, the incident occurred at the Prairie Land Detention Facility in Alvarado, Texas on Friday. According to Nancy Larson, U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas, at approximately 10:37 p.m., 10 to 12 individuals dressed in black, military-style clothing began shooting fireworks and engaging in acts of vandalism at the facility. Larson said the incident was planned ambush with the intent to kill ICE corrections officers. Some individuals drew correction officers out of the facility using the fireworks, while others damaged vehicles and vandalized the facility with graffiti. When the Alvarado police officers arrived on the scene, one of the individuals shot him in the neck. Another individual shot 20 to 30 rounds at the facility correction officers, according to Larson. All assailants fled the scene, though all have been apprehended, the U.S. attorney said. 20 to 30 rounds. This was like a literal battle. This was like a Civil War battle. Bradford Morris, who goes by Megan, was one of the suspects that allegedly fled the scene. According to court records, he was stopped a short while later with a magazine clip and Kevlar vests. Morris allegedly told the police that he met some people online who wanted to make a little noise at the detention center, according to court records. Resist fascism, fight oligarchy, they've got flyers, fight ICE terror with class war, free all political prisoners, more fireworks, weapons, and cell phones across multiple searches over the weekend. Police also found two AR-15s nearby, according to court records. Okay, so where is the congressional hearings? Where are the investigations? Where are the hyperventilating, you know, panic segments on CNN about how this isn't just a small thing. This is obviously just part of a much wider network, and we have to really have an all-of-government focus on weeding this out. That is, in fact, that would actually be a good response. Not January 6th, where a bunch of unarmed, peaceful protesters got flashbanged by the police, beat up by a bunch of Capital City officers, despite not having any weapons. We had years of manhunts identifying every single, you know, unemployed baker that happened to protest in D.C. that day. But you have 10 people with Kevlar vests, AR-15s, and explosives setting an ambush and shooting an ICE officer in the neck. And there's no outrage, and there's no panic, and there's no awareness of what this really means. But that's just one of the crazy, like, this happened multiple times over the weekend. ICE announced that Rep. Salud Carbajal, Representative Salud Carbajal doxed ICE employee who was left bloody by left-wing rioters at a California pot farm. Carbajal shared agent's business card with violent mob. Wow, I can't believe Salud Carbajal isn't a loyal American. ICE and Customs Enforcement has revealed that Representative Carbajal was part of a violent mob of protesters attempting to obstruct federal law enforcement as they executed a criminal search warrant at a marijuana facility, and that he doxed an ICE agent by handing the individual's business card to members of the violent group. The doxxed agent was left bloody after the mob hurled rocks at agents who were doing their job. They were conducting criminal warrant operations at marijuana farms affiliated with the Glass House Brands Incorporated when the chaos unfolded. And this was the marijuana farm where they found minors amongst the workers, minor slaves who were working to pay off their debt to the cartel for getting them into this country. Really, you can see the full spectrum of the liberal symbiotic community at work here. You've got the child slaves, you've got the cartels, you've got the politicians opening the border to allow the exploitation, and you've got the weed farm to drug all of the Americans into senselessness while all of this criminality happens under their noses. It really is symbolic of where we are as a country. And apparently this elected representative was handing out the personal information in the business card to one of the ICE agents conducting this raid to the mob of violent rock-throwing protesters trying to stop it. Why are we putting up with this? Why are we putting up with this? I genuinely don't have a reason. Like, there's not a reason why any of these people should be anywhere other than Alligator Alcatraz. It truly is wild. And it goes on and on. Democrats told to get shot for the anti-Trump resistance. At town halls in their districts and in one-on-one meetings with constituents and activists, Democrat members of Congress are facing a growing thrum of demands to break the fools, break the rules, fight dirty, and not be afraid to get hurt. You know what that means, right? It means they're going to shoot people. When they say, you know, you have to be willing to get shot, that means they want you to shoot people. Democrat lawmakers say their voters are threatening blood and violence over inability to hinder Trump. Democrat lawmakers say their voters are enraged at the lack of ability to counter President Trump's agenda, with some saying they could resort to violence, Axios reported Monday. Well, they already are resorting to violence, so you can keep that warning to yourself. The outlet says it spoke to over two dozen House Democrats to measure the temperature of the Democratic base. What it found was red-hot anger and a burgeoning desire to circumvent the rule of law, where explanations the Democrats simply don't hold enough power in Washington falls on deaf ears. We've got people who are desperately wanting us to do something. No matter what we do, they want more. Because these people don't actually, I mean, my God. These are the people that talk about democracy. The reason that they can't hamper Trump is because Trump is doing everything in constitutional order. That nothing he's doing is illegal. That he's actually carrying out the will of the voters. That our government, when it goes out and arrests illegal aliens, is actually working exactly as intended, and wanting to stop that just means that you're trying to help criminals and destroy the rule of law that, you know, you keep talking about fighting for. We're going to keep going on this on the other side. This is just the beginning. Of course, we're 1 year out from the near assassination of Trump. On July 13th, 2024, you have this other Trump assassination suspect, Ralph. People have just been put in jail for selling hidden guns, and he is now asking for the death penalty as yet another example of the out-of-control leftist violence that is literally attempting to kill us because they can't win electorally.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline, and the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words, and he's waiting.
because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs. It embroils America into something that could last a decade. But he knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kpm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all. Dealers are created equal, not our brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate, zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion and do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, it's there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right, only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Still have a lot to cover in the second half of today's show. I'm going to open up the phone lines for you. But in the meantime, let's talk about the coordinated Antifa ambushes that severely injured federal officers over the weekend. There was the one on July 4th in, Alvarado, where 10 to 12 Antifa members shot at police, tried to distract them by vandalizing cars and setting off fireworks before opening fire on them. They apparently have been arrested. We haven't heard anything about their connections being investigated, or the groups that they're a part of being designated terrorist organizations or charged in RICO cases, which is a little bit disappointing. But that wasn't the only attack on ICE officers in just the last few days. A gunman in tactical gear tried to kill Border Patrol agents in McAllen, Texas, and got instantly neutralized by security. On July 7th, 2025, at 5:45 a.m., Ryan Luis Mosqueda, 27, ambushed Border Patrol agents with an assault rifle and tactical gear at a McAllen Annex facility. Mosqueda fired dozens of rounds, and agents in McAllen police returned fire, killing him, as confirmed by DHS and McAllen Police Chief Victor Rodriguez. One McAllen officer was shot in the knee, and two others, including a Border Patrol employee, were injured. All were hospitalized and stable. Mosqueda, reported missing from Weslaco at 4 a.m., had a Michigan ID. His car marked Cordis Die contained another rifle and ammunition. The FBI is investigating the targeted attack. McAllen International Airport briefly closed, resuming operations by the afternoon. Again, you've got multiple examples of they're not just lighting Teslas on fire anymore, folks. They're showing up at ICE offices with assault rifles, and they're trying to kill the agents. And somehow this isn't in the top 10 stories, even in the right, or even on the right wing. Okay. Mike Shelby, of course, breaks this down. We're going to have him on again soon, as he's been warning about this and documenting the, you know, increasing activities of Antifa, warning that the low grade, you know, civil warfare that we've been seeing over the last several months would only increase throughout the summer as the so-called resistance, the Antifa extremists embedded in our country, ramp up their attacks. Again, a problem that just unbelievably easy to solve, but we don't solve it. And I'll expand on that in a second. But here's what Mike Shelby said about the ambush in Alvarado. In short, based on the numbers of weapons recovered, it could have been much worse. Sounds like some of the would-be shooters chickened out. 10 to 12 individuals dressed in black began shooting fireworks at 10:57. By 10:58, two unarmed correctional officers approached the vandals. 10:59, Alvarado police officers arrived. 10:59, two shooters engaged police officers at about 100 to 150 meters, expending 20 to 30 rounds of 5.56 ammunition from AR platforms. At least one rifle jams, and the two shooting suspects flee to the west. Shortly after, police apprehended seven suspects in a field west of the shooting positions. Police also found two AR-15-style rifles abandoned at a nearby woodline. Some were wearing body armor, carrying weapons, and had radios. A total of 12 sets of ballistic vests are later discovered in the area. Additionally, a Johnson County Sheriff's Office detective makes a traffic stop and arrests one of the suspects armed with a black pistol, two sets of body armor, and one ballistic helmet. An additional two AR-15s are found in the backseat of the van. The suspect is also carrying a radio. No further information. Prairie Lynn Detention Center ambush with the map here of how exactly it was carried out. And here you can see the goblins and freaks that were involved in this act of domestic terror. And I wonder what networks could be unveiled through looking at their cell phones or investigating their communications or simply looking at the times in the past where they've been arrested for this exact type of activity and let go. One of the people who was involved in the shooting ambush had a FBI wanted poster published of him. I believe he has been found at this point, but originally on the 9th of July, the FBI posted this. The FBI offers a reward of up to $25,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of Benjamin Hanel Song, wanted for his alleged involvement in the July 4th, 2025 attack on the Prairie Land Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas. Benjamin Hanel Song, as Andy No notes, is part of a documented cell of armed Antifa militants in the North Texas area. He's currently being sued in an ongoing civil lawsuit by a group of Christians who were attacked in 2023, and we can go to that 2023 story at the Post Millennial. Antifa militia group sued over assault at Fort Worth family-friendly drag show. A number of Dallas Antifa members belonging to the infamous Elm Fork John Brown Gun Club have been sued for allegedly assaulting three men who were peacefully protesting a, quote, family-friendly drag brunch at a restaurant in nearby Fort Worth. The lawsuit, which lists 14 members as well as the club itself, accuses the far-left extremist of conspiring to inflict and actually inflicting injury on plaintiffs Joshua Finnessy, Anthony Long, and Kyle Randall, all of whom belong to a Catholic fraternity and were expressing their faith-based objections to the drag brunch at the time. Basically, they were just gathered across the street from the brewery, protesting, quote, not with megaphones or intimidation, but rather through silent prayer. When this mob of Antifa goons showed up, Christopher Gillett Megan Grant and Benjamin Hanel Song were among 15 or so members of the Elm Fork John Brown Club, congregated nearby. Nearly all of them concealed their identities via masks and baggy clothing, and five were openly carrying firearms. Again, you've got these mobs of black-clad Antifa communists wearing guns, intimidating and even assaulting Christians praying silently across from a drag brunch, which itself should not be allowed in this country, not when there are children involved. For some reason, these people aren't in jail. I mean, again, it might be kind of absurd to even point out the hypocrisy at this point. But principally, fundamentally, we are dealing with an existential threat to our actual freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. That the Constitution is not there strictly to limit the government. It is there to limit anybody in America from doing any of the things that are enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And this is obvious. I don't know. I don't know why we have to keep explaining this, but okay. If the government arrests you without charge and keeps you imprisoned without the ability to defend yourself, that's an obvious violation of your rights under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to a right to a speedy trial and to defend yourself and habeas corpus and all of these wonderful things. If your neighbor grabs you off the street, chains you to the radiator in the basement, that's also illegal. Just because he's not the government doesn't mean he's then allowed to do that. The government is not allowed to go shut down prayer circles just because they don't like him. Why is Antifa allowed to do that? Why is this even a civil issue? Why are the people that were assaulted forced to find lawyers themselves, fund their own civil lawsuit, put themselves at risk of some sort of, you know, anti-slap measure where they're, you know, if the lawsuit doesn't go their way, they're suddenly on the hook and they have to pay their attackers? Like, why is it not the government just rounding these groups up and going, you engaged in a coordinated mob, a conspiracy to deny rights to American citizens? These people were praying and they have an absolute constitutionally guaranteed right for their freedom of religion. These black-clad communists come along and assault them, and then nothing happens. They aren't even arrested. It has to be a civil lawsuit that the victims themselves have to pay to bring forward. Not hard. It's not hard to deal with these issues. And it's not even that you need to, like, come to me for answers. The answers are imminently obvious. They are just apparent to literally anybody able to talk. I guarantee if I got my 4-year-old son on the phone and said, what should we do about this? He'd say, oh, you should arrest the bad guys. It's like, yeah, duh. So you don't need to come to me for answers. The thing I want to impart to you is the question, why is this allowed? Why, if all of these things are so simple and so easy to solve, and solving them is not an option, and it's not a small thing. If this Benjamin Hanel Song scumbag, waste of space, future electric chair occupant, if he'd been arrested for the assault that he carried out with his mob of communists against the people praying, if he'd been arrested for that, then he wouldn't have been able to shoot one of the federal officers, or be involved in the mob that shot the federal officers. And, like, I guess that's what we have to weigh, is our commitment to free speech and our commitment to civil liberties really such that we are obligated to allow literal domestic terrorist networks to operate with impunity in this country? I don't think so. I don't think free speech or political activism or the First Amendment will be harmed at all by arresting violent communist mobs. That's not what the First Amendment is for. It's been warped and stretched, and you know, we've been tricked into thinking that somehow, you know, we lose all of our liberty if we don't imprison criminals. This is absurd. There's no threat to, you know, actual our rights or our, you know, restrictions of the government by imprisoning these people. What they're doing is not lawfully protected free speech. They're violent mobs. And I guess I'd want to ask the ICE officer or his family, you know, was it worth it? Was it worth getting shot so that this scumbag foreigner communist could terrorize Americans on the street? Like, what? Are people going to have to die? Are people going to have to pay the ultimate price? Is there going to have to be a bomb going off at some ICE facility that kills 10 agents before they take this seriously? Why do we have to wait? Why are we waiting? Why is this not a bigger story? Why are there not daily announcements from the DOJ about the threat that these groups pose and the actions being taken against them? Why are we not doing the obvious, easy, and necessary things to not even like take it out of the big wide scale? These are the things that could save our country. These are just the things that could stop fathers and mothers from being murdered, right? This could stop a kid from having to visit their ICE agent father in the hospital as he's recovering from a bullet wound. Why do we not do this stuff? Again, the answers are not difficult. You don't need to come to me for them. But I do hope that you'll ask why we don't do them, why these things aren't being handled in the way that they should, who is behind this. I don't think it's the average person. I don't think the average person would just scoff at this, right? The average person would be outraged and horrified to learn that, you know, a dozen militia members launched an ambush on federal agents and seriously wounded some of them. In the natural course of events, the obvious and he's still on the run. This guy hasn't been caught yet. This Benjamin Hanel Song guy. Well, I guess it's easy not to get caught when nobody's looking for you. And here's the thing. This is where it's really crazy. So you've got, not only do you have these Antifa groups committing violence and disturbing the peace of their fellow Americans with total impunity, and they're well-funded, and they have lawyers, you know, on retainer, paid for by the billionaires that are encouraging this. Yeah, so the suspect still hasn't been caught. Manhunt for ICE facility attack suspect reaches 10 days with reward money on the line. Well, you know, you had him in prison for assaulting those Christians earlier. You probably should have charged him with something then. But I guess that's not what we do here. But it's the fact that you have congressmen and senators encouraging this. You have elected representatives doxing ICE agents who then come under attack and are severely injured. And they're beamed with rocks. You've got officials at the USAID and the State Department upset that they're being let go from their jobs and deciding that instead of respecting the will of the voters, rolling with the punches and just dealing with an issue that plagues everybody in private industry, these people are just so like shocked they would ever be fired from their job because it's a cushy government job that they're supposed to have for life and be able to retire on. Well, they got let go, and so they're resorting to treason. I guess they don't have any marketable skills, so treason is the next best option. Fired USAID bureaucrats warn Trump of coming regime change. A very particular set of skills. Fired USAID and other government workers used to working in authoritarian countries are quietly building a resistance to Trump with their backgrounds very much in mind. Quote, you just released a bunch of well-trained individuals into your population, one currently employed federal official involved in these efforts told Notus. if you kept our offices going and had us play solitaire in the office, it might have been safer to keep your regime. So the State Department and the USAID, who have for the last several decades hidden their regime change operations under the guise of charity and humanitarian prospects, are apparently taking the knowledge and the skills that they've learned and employed in authoritarian places around the world and are now working on regime change here at home. Fired State Department bureaucrats reportedly using their regime change skills to sabotage Trump. But right-wingers are the threat to democracy. Right-wingers are the violent ones. Right-wingers are the authoritarian ones. We're dealing with a subversion that is like beyond understanding. To where it's like, okay, usually you'd have like a country and maybe there's some percentage of the population that's subverting it. But we're like over 50% at this point. It's like 50% of our country actively hates our own country. I mean, the Democrats, I had the video yesterday. I don't think I played it. CNN, I believe, was reporting on a poll asking people if they were proud to be American. 24% of Democrats said they were proud to be American. 24%. You've got 75% of the Democrat constituency genuinely don't like America, not proud to be American, do not have loyalty to this country. What do you even do at that point? We probably like shouldn't even be a country. Yeah, extremely proud to be an American. Republicans 92%, Democrats 24%. It's not, you know, I always think back to the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia clip where Frank Reynolds is going, Hillary Clinton hates freedom. She hates freedom. It's like, what? She doesn't hate freedom. Who hates freedom? It's like, no, dude, these people genuinely hate America. Okay? Not, this isn't just some right-wing Republican talking point. The Democrats genuinely do not like America. They don't like its system of representative democracy. They don't like the people that built America. They don't like the history that built America. They don't like Europeans. They don't like Christianity. They don't like America. They're not American in any sense of the word. And we'll expand on that with this new mayoral candidate in Minnesota who looks like a freaking goblin cartoon. Because a lot of people, you are pointing out, this guy's not American. Somalian refugee. People are going, he was born in America. He was raised in America. He sounds just like every other millennial out there. He's American. And then every video is him just like, my home in Somalia, I will go back there and I elect me and I will benefit Somalia. It's like these people are, they're not American. They don't even pretend to be American. And it's frankly insulting to be told that a guy like that is American, as if he's equal to somebody like me. As if his loyalty to this country isn't bifurcated by his superior loyalty to his home country. It's just insane what we're dealing with. And again, it's like, This is why Epstein's such a big issue. This is why Trump's failures are so unacceptable. Because this is not a fringe belief of the Democratic Party. This is their core belief. They are literally tyrannical. They are literally authoritarian. They, you know, give some semblance of respect to America insofar as that is required to get them the power that they want, but they don't actually like America. They certainly don't love America. They do not have respect for the founders, meaning that they don't have respect for the founding principles, meaning that they genuinely do not understand or have reverence for the freedoms that our founders laid out for us. They are pure animals of power. That's all they care about. And the very same, you know, limitations of the government that they will utilize and weaponize to ingratiate themselves or insinuate themselves into our power structures are the very limitations that they will circumvent or sidestep or overrule or just ignore when they're putting you and your family in prison for posting something they don't like online. And it is getting to that point, and we are losing the First Amendment. And these people are not shy about their intentions. And I don't need to show you again the number of people in, again, positions of power, not fringe, not just the Antifa people. It's like you got the Antifa people actually literally ambushing and shooting at federal agents. Okay. So one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the Democratic spectrum, the people are just saying, yeah, next time we're in power, J.D. Vance will be in prison. They aren't even suggesting he committed a crime, but they are saying they're going to throw him in prison. And then you have this from the Lincoln Project. Again, used to be a Republican. Not exactly far left tip, you know, in their origin. But they say one day Alligator Auschwitz will be filled with the ones who built it. So see, we built a staging camp to deport the criminals that are in this country illegally. Because you got to stage them somewhere. Because you need a facility to house people while they're in the process of deportation. Because that's what the law requires. There's nothing vengeful about this. There's nothing vindictive about this. It's meme-worthy in that it's in a swamp and there's alligators around it. But these people aren't saying we're going to enforce the law. These people aren't saying criminals are going to be housed there. They're saying Republicans are going to be housed in concentration camps. They're saying the people who built Alligator Alcatraz are going to be the ones housed in it. As in the Republicans that actually want to enforce the law and defend the border are going to be put in prison when they get back in power. This is why Trump's failures are unacceptable. Because he's not fighting for himself. He's fighting for the fate of America. And if the Democrats ever get back in power again, it's the end. That's it. We're going to actually have to go to civil war. And that's just insane. So it's just like, just fix these problems. The love of God. We don't have another choice.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
report.